This is a homemade broadcast radio production.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is the homemade broadcast extra bonus content. It is January 24th, 2023. My name's Will Koontz, and I'm not alone today. I was blessed enough to be joined by my one true pal that I do radio with, Johnny Bell.
Blessed up. What's happening?
It's nothing. Absolutely nothing. We're off the air tonight, so I figured this would be a good opportunity, a good time to see what you were doing, to see if you wanted to jump on and join me tonight in the vid.
Bless our kids saying blessed up. Did I say something wrong? I think that's a thing they do, right?
Oh, I don't know. I'm close enough to 40 where I don't know such vernacular anymore. I've been saying a hunnit a lot. Hunnit.
Hunnit. Yes.
But I think
yes.
That's really old.
Yeah, I think I'm officially out of touch. I'm there. I'll be 51 years old in a couple of months, and I'm sorry, but if my food's really good, I'm not going to say it's bussin'. I'm just not. I can't.
Yeah. I would say hunt it, though. How do you like your meal? Hunt it.
That's it, as long as it slaps, you know?
As long as it slaps. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. It's good. I know what most of those words mean. You can kind of figure them out, you know? Sus was a thing for a while. I think that kind of fell out of favor because Facebook mom started using it. And once that happens, I mean, it's done. I think it goes to like my generation, ancient geriatric millennials start using the vernacular and they start to go, ooh. And then you start using it with your generation and then Facebook moms. And then it's just done. That's it. That's the end of the word. It's gentrifying language.
No cap.
That's true. I do know what that means. I learned that pretty recently. Actually.
Right.
So I wanted to do some content with you today since we are off the air because the Tampa Bay Lightning are taking on somebody.
Minnesota Wild, baby.
Minnesota Wild. I saw that Stamkos is getting honored tonight for his 500th goal, which is awesome. I almost thought about asking for tickets to that game, but I got so swamped with stupid day job stuff that I couldn't make it. So, yeah. So I wanted to talk about this, Johnny. There was a, let me pull up the story here. I guess it doesn't matter. We don't really need it. There's no video or anything. Local here in Tampa is the Big Cat Rescue, owned by one Carol Baskin, started by Carol Baskin, and I believe her ex-husband, Don Lewis. Mm-hmm. Now, they were the focus of a documentary back a few years ago, right when COVID started, called The Tiger King, which involved Joe Exotic and his, I don't know, I guess you would say revenge tour to try to get revenge on Carol Baskin for putting him out of business, essentially, with his stuff that he was doing. Everybody in that documentary was unique because they all kind of seemed like bad people a little bit, but Carol was the best of the worst, I would say. However, there was a big accusation against her levied by the Tiger King himself that her missing husband, Don, Carol's husband, who had been missing since, I believe, the early 90s, and 97, that he had killed her and fed him, or sorry, she killed him, and she fed him to her tigers. Now, the case is still open. The Hillsborough County Sheriff's Office has been investigating it for many years now, almost going on 30 years now. And a revelation last week, Carol Baskin said that that her husband was found alive. There was an interview in 2021 that went viral where she alleged that he was declared legally dead in 2002, but was found alive in Costa Rica. She's quoted as saying that they said, "My husband, Don Lewis, is alive and well in Costa Rica." She said this on ITV's This Morning, And yet all of this drama has been made about me having something to do with the disappearance when Homeland Security has always known where he was. She also asserted that the Department of Homeland Security had been in touch with him. And she also said, really exciting things that came out of Tiger King 2 is that they produced a letter from Homeland Security, and it says that special agent in charge with the FBI at Homeland Security reached out to the sheriff's detective, George Fernandez, which means that this had to have happened after 2002 because Homeland Security wasn't even around until 2002. He did disappear in 1997. So that's a big news. You would think that some outlets would have maybe jumped on this news of Don Lewis's finding, but they didn't for some reason. And that's because it turns out that it's not true. It's not true. The Hillsborough County Sheriff's Office has released a statement saying that no, Don Lewis is still missing. And that, let's see, it says, the head detective on the case told reporters years ago that the only person in this case who is not considered a suspect and a person of interest is myself. Everyone else is a possibility, with Carol being the high possibility. That's a Corporal Moises Garcia, he said. So no, there was big news a few days ago that we didn't even get to, that Don was back and Don was with us. But it turns out that Carol may have been stretching the truth a little bit on that.
It's so hard to even get to the real truth anymore. Even with the documentary with the Tiger King, and we've talked about this on our show on terrestrial radio, documentaries, they're really geared towards whatever they want you to believe. So whoever's filming the documentary, it's going to be from that point of view. So if you filmed it from whoever's perspective, then you would go, wow, she's clearly innocent. But if you filmed it the other way, then you go, oh, she obviously killed him and fed him to the tigers. So it's really kind of the dish that you're served, and you have to kind of eat it cautiously, knowing that you're going to have to pick through all of the facts and try to figure out what the closest thing to the truth is. That's how I try to watch documentaries now, even reality TV. I go, man, there's so much editing. There is so much, information that they're either not giving us or giving us more of some than the other. I don't know what's going on with Don Lewis. It sounds likely he had a plane. You know, he had a Cessna. He flew all these different trips down to Central America, South America, all these different islands. And it seems like it could be probable that he just flexed. I know a lot of people back in the late 90s and early 2000s. I knew poker players that were like relocating to Costa Rica and similar areas because you could take $100,000 and live like a king back then. I don't know how it is now, but if he had a bad marriage, maybe he felt like she was going to kill him. Maybe he just didn't want to be around her anymore because, I mean, she's Carol Baskin. I mean, and maybe he did bounce, or maybe she fed him to the tigers. How do we know? All we know is that the guy, Moises Garcia, that is, I believe that's his name, that's investigating for the last two decades, he kind of believes it's Carol, but can't pin it on her. I don't know. At this point, nobody can know.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's probably a kind of a dead end, this case, because if a tiger eats you, the evidence is gone. So that seems like I think his plane was still left here behind in Tampa. It seems like you might be able to do this kind of fake your own death and bounce and go live somewhere else, like maybe as late as the 70s. But as communication became more frequent, easier to different communication styles, cell phones came about. In 97, he probably had a cell phone. I don't know, though. They never talked about that evidence or anything. It just seems more likely that somebody would have found him by now. I don't think you could just fake your death and go live somewhere else for this long with nobody, especially with all the interest from that documentary, that was a worldwide event. That was Netflix all over the world, that people were watching mm-hmm. this all at once too, because COVID had just kind of taken hold and we were all locked in our houses. So it wasn't only the interest here in the United States, but really probably a lot of the world too. So I still think in my gut that she fed him to the tigers. Or maybe an accident happened. Maybe she didn't even mean for it to happen. That there was like a Siegfried and Roy type of incident, and the tiger attacked him. She panicked, didn't know what to do, and just let the tigers finish their job and eat him up. I don't know.
Right. Well, in 2002, when they finally declared his death, he would have been 64 years old. And the pictures that I've seen from 1997, he looked like an old man then. He was only 59 years old. People looked older a long time ago. We've talked about that before too. You see football players, you know, that were 38 years old from like the 60s and 70s, and they look 65. So he was only 59, because I'm thinking, what if he did bounce, you know, got, you know, all new documentation, started his new life, but he has since died. I mean, it has been 26 years since he disappeared. So even at 59, you're talking a man in his 80s now. I mean, he could have went to Costa Rica, and he could have died 10 years ago just from normal old people problems. We don't know. I mean, it's so hard. Like, there's no way that we'll ever know, really.
Yeah. That's a wild thing for Carol to just throw out there, though. Just sort of willy-nilly like that. Like, yeah. Nobody was going to fact check her. You got to... I appreciate her cojones on that. So either she is telling the truth and Homeland Security is just for some reason not confirming this allegation. That seems very unlikely. Or she's crazy. And what do crazy people sometimes do to people that they are close with? You know, perhaps intimate with. Sometimes accidents happen. Sometimes murder happens. I don't know.
She had a lot of reasons to kill him. She really did. I mean, a lot of reasons. Financially, emotionally, their marriage wasn't doing well. I mean, there was a lot of reasons if she did. You know, it wasn't like other, you know, like OJ, his only reason was passion if he did it. You know, he was upset.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think there was a monetary gain from that. He was just like, oh, hell no, Ron. No, Goldman, you ain't doing that. Riding around in my car, banging my woman. I'll kill you, you know, if he did it. But Carol had like a laundry list of reasons why she needed Don out of the picture. So it doesn't look good for her. It doesn't. And yeah, she looks nuts. She sounds nuts. You know, she's doing her little streams. Hello, cool cats and kittens. Yeah. Riding a bicycle. Yeah.
No. Riding a bicycle with a weird helmet. Yeah. I mean, you brought up OJ, you know, maybe Carol Baskin's in the same boat. If they did it, I guess you could put him in that same category. I almost admire that, because there is a lot of reasons to kill people that you're close with. I mean, it would make people's lives a lot easier in many circumstances if just other people weren't around. And nobody does it, partly because of maybe there's morality, but probably mostly for the fear of punishment, knowing that a jail sentence of being confined for the rest of your life, or being put on death row or something like that, being executed by the state. But when somebody just gets the balls to murder someone, you just go, wow, it's almost kind of impressive. Really, if you think about it.
Yeah, I think that's the main thing. I think you have to have that certain something in your being to be able to pull that trigger, pun intended, you know, like to be able to do that. Because I thought about it after watching Tiger King, that, you know, one of my wives, I won't say which one, man, I think if she had that in her, she may have killed me, you know, because she would just get drunk and just be crazy sometimes. I'm like real crazy. And it was, I never even thought about it back then though. I never even thought like, man, I wonder if this broad would kill me. I just knew she hated my guts, you know, and, you know, I was trying to keep the family together and all that. And then finally I just, you know, we both got to the point where I was like, I, you know, I'm not going to fight for this anymore. But after watching Tiger King, I did for a few minutes think about it and go, oh man, I'm glad we didn't own tigers, you know?
Yeah.
It could have been bad.
That's true. That's an interesting thought experiment. Like, how many times has someone been in a room with you that you loved, or maybe just a stranger? You know, there's a lot of weirdos out there, and they went, I'm gonna kill this this person, and that person's you, and you have no idea. Like, you're sitting on a bus, or you're, you know, somebody is next to you in a car at a red light, and they're just like, I'm gonna blow this dude's head off right here, and you don't even know. You're just sitting at a red light, and then they go, nah, I can't do it. I'm too scared, or for whatever reason, something takes over. I wonder how many times that happens in one lifespan.
Have you been in a situation where you think that maybe it was about to happen?
Not that I could really think of off the top of my head. I've always been pretty risk adverse for situations that I'm in. I've always kept my head on a swivel and paid attention to my surroundings. So I can't think of a time where I've been nervous. I mean, maybe some times where I purchased substances, but I was always kind of knew those people. You know what I mean? When you're purchasing, drugs, you know, of some kind, when you're younger, allegedly.
Benadryl, something.
Something like that. And a long time ago when I was like in college and stuff, but I've always kind of like, they've always been friends of friends, you know, and I was never really afraid, but, I never thought that anybody wanted to actively murder me. But I don't know that they didn't either. You can't read anybody's mind yet.
Yeah. I think the closest I came to that where I felt like it was really close, you know, I used to work in a bar back in the 90s, and it was kind of a rough joint over in, you know, the East Tampa area. And it was, you know, a place where fights happened a lot and things like that. Well, I was dating this girl, and she had walked across the street of the bar to this convenience store to go grab something. I don't remember, but I was managing the bar and DJing and everything else. So I was managing that night. She walks over to the convenience store. She comes back and she says, hey, there's this guy following me. And I go, what do you mean he's following you? Well, he was like hitting on me real, real creepy, like in the store. And I told him I wasn't interested. And he said, no, I want to get to know you. And I walked back across the street and he's following me. And I go, you know, and I'm trying to get more information. As I'm trying to get more information, here he comes walking in the door. And I'm, you know, this is my girlfriend. So my first thought, being a guy in his 20s, I'm going to go whoop this guy's butt. So I walk up and I'm like, hey, man, what's the deal? Why are you bothering my girlfriend? And he's like, I don't see a ring on her finger, blah, 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 some crap. Why this bouncer that was like 500 pounds, 6'7", his name was Tiny, you know, RIP. He passed away several years ago, but obviously that's his name. He comes over and he's like, what's going on? And this guy's like, you know, starts getting in my face and everything else. So I punched a guy and he goes down to a knee, and that's when I see he's pulling a gun out of a ankle holster, and he's got it out of his ankle holster. And my first thought was, I'm about to die. This guy's about to shoot me. And before he could pull it up to point it, Tiny open hand smacked him across the room, you know, pretty much knocked him out. And I took the gun, and I had that gun for a few years after that, but yeah, I never even called the cops. We just kind of, you know, I roughed him up a little bit after that and kicked him out of the bar. But I mean, I was like a second away from this guy shooting me, probably.
You stole his gun?
I just kept it. I confiscated it, you know?
Oh my God. What if you used it on somebody else in the past and you were in possession of a murder weapon, of evidence?
I don't know. I was in my 20s. I don't know. I was stupid. I had a drawer in the office in the desk where I had confiscated, like, you know, different things, you know, guns, knives, weapons, whatever, you know, like if somebody had something they shouldn't have had in the bar, I just would take it and throw it in that drawer. So I probably had all kinds of murder weapons in there. I don't know. It was in the 90s.
Yeah. Crazy times. Yeah. 80s and 90s were wild. I, I kind of envy you that you got to grow up and kind of be a young man in the 1990s, where the milk and honey days of America were, you know, full tilt. And now we're kind of in a degrading empire now. And right. I had some good times, though. Don't get me wrong. But I would not want to be, this doesn't sound like a fun time to be like really young, like in your teens and 20s, like growing up right now doesn't seem as fun.
I try to think about that all the time when I want to judge, you know, this new generation coming up, because it's easy to, because they're very aggravating and annoying. But you think about what they're going through as far as the consumption that they're getting of every kind of media, social media, you know, televised and everything. All we had back then was TV and print, you know, so it wasn't as stimulating and overwhelming. So, you know, they're getting it 24/7. I mean, we are too. I mean, I'm constantly on my phone, constantly. We all are. But, you know, we're old enough and smart enough to know when, you know, we're being duped or if we're, you know, being made to believe something that, you know, okay, we like to question things. Like, I don't know about that, but it seems like, these young people, they're very impressionable, you know, and it's tough, and they're competing for attention. They're competing to, you know, to outdo each other when it comes to, I mean, everything. It was way more simple back in the day.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I had a good time, but I didn't get to steal anybody's gun. That would have been fun. I kind of wish I was able to do that, but alas.
I don't know. I didn't steal it. He left it behind, Will.
Oh, so he was like, thank God. I've been trying to get rid of this thing.
Probably.
For months. I've murdered so many people with this firearm. Some dummy just threw it in his car. Wow. Good luck.
Honestly, after I left that job, I never, you know, I just left the gun there. I don't know. Like, you know, I went off to go, you know, I quit the bar business when Zane's mom got pregnant. And I was like, I don't want to work in the bar anymore. I'm going to be a dad. And I didn't say, hey, can I have all the confiscated weapons when I leave? No, I just left it in there. I mean, it was, I don't know. It might still be in there. Who knows?
Well, amen. I would say, I wonder what that guy's doing right now. Probably in the same situation Don Lewis is, which is dead. I think that's a good way to end this video. Johnny, it was so nice to do this with you. I wish we got to do it on the radio tonight, but you know, the gods,
go Bolts,
the powers that be have said no. So instead we'll do this video, and maybe we'll do another one on Thursday, because we're also going to be off on Thursday. We will be back Wednesday night, 10 p.m. on 102.5 The Bone, and Friday too. So that's exciting. Good times. Johnny, I don't know if you want to promote anything, but I will give you this time to do so if you'd like to.
Sure. Thanks, buddy. JohnnyBComedy.com is my website where you can find my store that has Johnny B Show gear in it. I'm probably going to be putting some new stuff in there soon. Maybe. I don't know. Also, my calendar. I'm booking a lot more gigs next week. We're on the radio 5 days a week, but I'm probably going to miss two for comedy. So just go there. Check it out. I got shows coming up everywhere. I'm writing a bunch of new material. And yeah, it's a lot of fun. And of course, you can find all my social media links right there on the website. Very easy.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Johnny. By the way, I got some few homemade broadcast stickers left. If you'd like one, slip it in my DMs, home_made_man. I've sent a bunch out over the past few weeks, so hopefully you're enjoying those. And you can leave a message for the show as well, 813-693-2124. Instagram and Twitter is home_made_man, and facebook.com/HMB Radio if you still are on Facebook thing. All right, Johnny. Well, I'll see you tomorrow night, 10 p.m. on The Bone. Peace.
Later, guys. Bye.
See ya.